What's up, gamers? We are here with the inaugural episode of Infinite Rushdown, a 100% fighting game focused podcast. I'm your host, The Blacksmith, and I'm here with my co-host, two-time Mortal Kombat champion, Carl Perfect Legend White. Carl, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm in fighting game heaven right now.
Right. That's all we got coming right now is fighting games.
That's it. And those games, those last a long time. I like that. I like the longevity of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just not like an action game where, you know, you play it and you're just, like, collecting dust. You always can elevate yourself and seek to go to that next level.
You either all get all the achievements or you can, you know, decide to, you know, get real hardcore about it and start going to tournaments.
Exactly, exactly. Tournaments are fun, man. And, you know, I think that's what's really going to be dope about, you know, this specific podcast that we're doing, because you're a tournament champion. You know, I feel I'm a champion spectator.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I just love being around the fighting game community. I love the spectator. I participate here and there on local stuff, but, you know, I haven't reached the level that you're on. But, you know, I think that garners, like, a unique perspective from two different angles on one, you know, specific target, which is the fighting game community.
All right.
So no doubt. So Tekken Tag Tournament 2 and Dead or Alive 5 both dropped in September. September is like really crazy right now.
Yeah.
Which one is your favorite so far? Because I know you've been playing both, right?
Right. Of course, I'm going to say DOA. Just because, you know, one, I know the game in and out, and I'm a little biased because that's how I came into the fighting game scene. But as far as, like, going to tournaments, like, I've always played fighting games at home, but before tournaments, just all I did was play fighters. And then, you know, DOA, I was introduced from DOA to the fighting game community. So, like, I have to go with DOA just because, I don't know, I just really love this game. I really do love Tekken as well. I practice Tekken probably as much as I practice DOA, even though, like, in Tekken, I didn't really have anyone to play with, so I couldn't really get to the level that I wanted to. I'm going to try to this time around, but I have to give the edge to DOA.
Definitely. I'm not going to, you know, front. Like, Street Fighter was my first love, you know. Mm-hmm. Then came Mortal Kombat, but when the PS2 era came in and I played DOA 2, I fell in love. Like, I just, you know, I loved how the mechanics of the game worked. You know, it actually became one of my favorite fighting game franchises. And, you know, when it went to, like, the beach volleyball and things of that nature, I really kind of, like, didn't pay too much attention to it.
Right.
But when, I don't know if you ever heard of Monty Ohm.
Yeah, he made the Dead Fantasy stuff.
Exactly. That reinvigorated my love for it.
Actually, I was really excited when Tecmo was probably about to go with Squaresoft, because they could probably have made that a reality, but they ended up going with Koei, which is also a great company as well, because they make the Dynasty Warriors stuff.
Yeah, definitely. That would have been a good look, man, because that series is sick. You know, that like I said, that just reinvigorated my love for it. The DOA girls and exactly, because I don't think that franchise or that those series of movies would have been the same with any other franchise characters.
Right.
You know, so it was a good fit, it was a good look, and it reignited my love for DOA. Now, Dead or Alive 5 integrates tutorials into its storyline. Are
right.
you a fan of this development decision?
I think it's good. I mean, like, for me, it doesn't really do too much because I already know a lot about the game, but for newer players, it's like really good because, one, you know, you kind of have to play through the story, unlock the characters, but at the same time, it teaches you how to play the game too. So as you're, you know, playing, unlocking stuff, and you know, you learn more about the game, like as far as mechanics wise, and you learn more about the story, and then you're just unlocking stuff. So it's like a package deal in story mode, because a lot of fighting games don't do that. Like, usually just an arcade mode, you play to like the 8th stage and you beat the boss, and then you just see a like movie or something, and then you got to do it all over again. But this story mode actually has you play with most of the cast in the game, and you're able to, like, you know, see how everyone moves and plays and stuff, and it tells you, hey, you know, do this defensive hold 3 times or something, just so you can get used to doing stuff, and then incorporate it into your game plan. So by the time, you know, you're done with the game, you're probably, like, you know, you understand on a basic level, and you can go and choose whoever you want to use as your main character. And because the story mode has you play with the characters, you're able to, you know, not have a lot of time with the characters, but you're able to see, like, what everyone can do on, you know, a really, like, more basic platform, but it's still enough to be like, all right, well, I like this character, then I like this character.
Yeah, I have to agree. I actually think Team Ninja did a better job of integrating the tutorial-based mechanic and allowing the gamer to become familiar with the cast of characters more so than NetherRealm did with Mortal Kombat. Because with and I know you're a Mortal Kombat champ, and I also want to get your opinion on that. With Mortal Kombat, they kind of just threw you in there. You know, it had this really fleshed out story. It was amazing. But you didn't have any kind of pregame or any instruction, you know, before you took over as Cabal or before you took over as Liu Kang. So I think, you know, this the way that Team Ninja put this together and Tecmo put this together, you know, you actually, it helps you and it makes you learn while you're having fun, which everyone loves to do.
Yeah, I agree, but I know, like, the MK team, they were kind of, like, working on time, so they probably didn't have a lot of time to put that stuff in. They did have tutorial mode in the game, but it was, like, separate from story mode. But I see what you're saying as far as, like, you know, there wasn't, like, hey, this is how you do this move with this character or whatever to help you get by. You had to kind of just, you know, probably read a book or something as you went along to kind of get an understanding how to, you know, play with each character. But, you know, it was actually, like, the first MK game, 2D MK game for in a while, and they had just, like, you know, transfer companies. So I guess, I mean, they were probably not thinking about that and trying to make sure, you know, the gameplay was good and stuff. Because the story mode was actually, in my opinion, the best story mode I ever played. Like, story-wise, but, yeah, I see what you're saying. But, like, actually, now, like, since fighting games, like, the boom is back, like it was in the 90s, I could expect to see, you know, something. I'm pretty sure in Injustice they'll have something like that.
I hope so, because I really, you know, I've enjoyed, you know, learning how to play with Ryu Hayabusa through the story mode. You know, it's just it's fun, and I'm learning without knowing that I'm learning. You know,
right.
So let me ask you this: where do you feel that these two titles fit in the fighting game community?
Well, DOA, unfortunately, hasn't always been accepted in the fighting game community because everyone just, you know, writes off as a fighter that's not, you know, doesn't have any depth and is easy to play or whatever, which, you know, I don't think is the case. It's actually very much like Virtua Fighter, especially in this version of the game. The only thing that's different is, like, you can't break command grabs, and it's a little bit more flashier with the stages and stuff, and actually there's a better story, in my opinion. Virtua Fighter, I know, has a story, but it's not as involving. Yeah. And honestly, I couldn't be like, why is this character in the game? And someone would be able to tell me. They're just like, I don't know. But, you know, DOA is kind of more obvious because it's, you know, the story platform that they have. And then for Tekken, Tekken's always fit in fighting. It's been a mainstay. It's actually been the main 3D fighting the game along with Soul Calibur as far as Virtua Fighter as well. Virtua Fighter is on a more smaller scale because not a lot of people play it in America, at least. But Soul Calibur and Tekken have always been, like, up there as far as the main 3D fighters of America. So they, you know, Tekken fits right in. It basically picks up where it left off.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, this Tekken in particular, though I was a fan of the first Tekken Tag Tournament, I kind of feel like they're not really catering to, I wouldn't say casual players, but up-and-coming Tekken players. I feel like with this title, you have to actually go back and play either Tekken Tag Tournament in 1, or you have to play Tekken 6 in order to get your base, in order to be successful. Even though they do have the dojo, that does a fairly adequate job of instructing you, you know, in the mechanics. I just feel like, you know, that base level tutorial is not really there. It's not really, this is a hardcore fighters fighting game, as Tekken Tag Tournament 2 is. You know, it's not really, you know, trying to cater to people coming up on fighting games now, which is kind of sad because, you know, I feel like this generation is getting, you know, really a good chunk, not the whole cake, but a good slice of what you and myself were witness to in the 90s with the boom in fighting games in that era.
Right.
I feel like with DOA, they do a really good job of catering to, and I'm going to call it like I see it, they do a good job of catering to the mashers. You know, they have, you know, there are people who really don't have, you know, chess-like Bobby Fischer strategies when they go into these fighting game matches.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter, she loves Tekken, you know, but with Tekken Tag 2, you know, I don't feel like she can really, she doesn't really execute as well as she would when playing Tekken, when she played Tekken 6. But at DOA, I can see that brightness in her eyes. You know, I can see that, you know, she's
yeah, she feels like she actually, yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's important as well as catering to the, you know, the upper elite and the high level players.
The only problem with Tekken is that, like, it takes a while to get into, and before you can even enjoy it, even like a, you know, basic level, you have to like learn all this stuff. Like, you have to learn freaking movement, you have to learn like throw escaping, stuff like that. If you don't know that, and that's actually like the beauty of Tekken, is learning that stuff and then be able to execute it. But without that, you know, Tekken's kind of, you don't get the full experience if you don't learn that. But like, they do teach you a lot of stuff in the fight lab when you're playing with combat, but I think it takes too long to pick up. I wish there was like a way you could just select and go through stuff instead of actually have to play through the entire mode, because it's kind of, it's not as, I guess, enjoyable, it's as I would say. Yeah,
you know. And I mean, I you know, I'm not hating on the game at all. I definitely think it's a quality title. Not saying that, you know, I'm not, I really, you know, apart, what made me gravitate towards Tekken was the whole Mishima Zaibatsu soap opera.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And I feel like that's not really present here. You know, it is a lot of, it's not really based off of, you know.
Yeah, Tag 2 is more like, it's just, Tag 2 is like a fan service game. Like, they put, you know, throw a bunch of stuff together and then they smooth it out, make sure it runs well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they have like, you know, Jinpachi, Dr. Matskanovich, Lily's butler, and Wang all sitting in a room, like, talking at the end of, I think, Jinpachi's, his ending.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's cool for the fans. They're like, oh, you know, we never thought we'd see something like this, because they're all sitting around, had actually regular conversation, you know? That's something you would think to see at all in Tekken.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I love Tekken. I just, you know, you know what? I think with the Tekken movie, the CG movie that came out, I think that kind of like started me kind of being, having a you know how you look at something with a squinting eye, like, for real?
Yeah.
that kind of started that with me. So, you know, even though I do love Tekken, I don't think that I'm going to focus a lot of my time on Tekken Tag 2. Plus, you know, I'm just, call a spade, I'm pretty free in the game.
Yeah.
But I think Dead or Alive 5, I'm definitely gonna, that's gonna be my focus, my on, as far as like 3D fighting games. I also like Persona 4, and I'm learning that, but, you know, DOA 5, I'm enjoying the story, I'm enjoying the new characters, I'm enjoying the environments, which I think is another thing that, you know, Tekken used to have that they're not really doing anymore. What do you feel about that?
I don't know. I like the environments and stuff in Tekken, and the music, for example, is like the best fighting game music you'll ever hear, you know, ever. So I listen to stuff in my car. I don't care what anyone says. That music sounds so good. Like, they, how they make some of the dubstep.
Yeah.
And they still have like the, you know, old school, well, not old school, but like, you know, some of the house music that they're known for. And then they have like Snoop in there. Oh, like, it's, yeah, it's really good.
No, I'm not. I mean, what I meant by environments, and you're right, the soundtrack is awesome. I meant, like, do you remember how in Tekken 4, like, they had the elevated levels
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, I know exactly what you meant. Yeah, it felt yeah, like, I missed that too.
It felt like the environment was more interactive, you know, then. And you know, they kind of, like, moved away from it. And, I feel like with Dead or Alive 5, you know, the way you can knock characters in different parts of the environment kind of brings that environmental interaction element back into the fighting game scene. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just a real fan of it.
Yeah, the thing is, like, they took that out because in Tekken 4, like, all right, Harada really listens to, like, his competitive crowd. So what was messed up about, because as their environments were nice and stuff, the problem with it was that, like, Jin, his laser scraper move was so abusable because you couldn't sidestep it, and it's unblockable. So you have to just deal with it. So, you know, that's why if you go and look at old Tekken 4 footage, like, from Evo, they only play on the Iron Man arena.
Okay, because that was flat yeah. surface.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, what they, and plus, like, a lot of people for the reception of Tekken 4, they didn't like it because, you know, it wasn't what they remembered in tag with the movement and stuff. They actually got rid of the movement. Backdash cancel was basically gone. I mean, you could sidestep and there was poking and stuff. Like, you know how to, you know, poke and counter poke or whatever, but there was no more movement. Movement is, like, a big part of Tekken, in my opinion. Like, I play Tekken because I love, you know, to move around and just do stuff. And, you know, Tekken allows me to do that. Like, I really like, you know, even though it's hard to do and, you know, really hard to learn, especially for new players, it's still really fun and rewarding when you're doing it because you're moving around effortlessly and the game is so hard to move because without the movement like that, without learning how to move, the game feels clunky. But once you learn how to move, it's like it gets really, you know, smooth.
Yeah, I think also Jin and Heihachi, they have the – I like the way they move. The misstep is available in Tekken Tag 2, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that one movement is just it impresses.
Yeah, it looks really nice. And in fact, you can do it like 9 times in 1 second. So you can scare people by like they call it light dashing. Like it's the wave dash, but it's like the wave dash. Like, you know, it's either 5 or 7 times per second. A wave dash is like 1 to 4 crouch dashes per second.
I feel like this when you mastered one specific game, not saying all the games are the same, but it's easier to master another game.
Yeah, it's definitely easier. You play a lot of fighting games, you get good at a lot of them, even if it's not at like the highest rate, you still can take what you learn from another game and apply it to another.
That's definitely true. That's exactly what, you know, I meant. Well, let's move on to this. Both of these titles have tag elements.
Yeah.
Which one do you feel has the best implementation of that tag fighting game mechanic and why?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because they're both like a, you know, they're a different breed. For example, in Tekken, if you kill one character, you kill the entire team. In DOA, you have to kill both characters.
What do you prefer?
I don't know. It feels like, okay, for example, if I do a guard break in DOA with, like, say, Hayate or something, I can tag, cancel the guard break, and come in with the next character and have a guaranteed attack. So, like, it's more, when you do a tag in DOA, there's more strategy outside of just, you know, managing your health and managing your meter from rage. Because you get to, like, basically come up with an entire, like, different strategy. Like, a move that will be, you know, just advantage on block will guarantee an attack for you. Like, just this for example. Of course, both of them have tag throws, but I feel like DOA's tag throws are kind of more involving. I don't know, their tag throws, in my opinion, just look better. But they didn't really start having, like, tag throws like that. Well, okay, Tekken Tag has had tag throws, like, the way DOA does it. I feel like DOA does it better as far as, like, look and stuff. Animation. But I feel like, you know, Tekken Tag, they should just come out with Tekken games and have tag as another feature just like DOA has instead of, you know, having to have a game called Tekken Tag 2 and then have Tekken 6. It's like, why don't you just make Tekken 7 and have tag in the game, you know?
See, that's one of the things I wanted to touch on was I'm really not understanding why the separation of the two franchises. With Tekken Tag, the original, they kind of justified it with Tekken Bowling and, you know, those kind of mini games that added a specific flavor to it that said, okay, well, we have this specific game mechanic, but that's not the you know, all you're getting in a package. You get all of this as well. But it seems like with Tekken Tag 2, you know, since, you know, and it's a really fine-tuned, you know, beast of a mechanic. They took ownership of it, but I, you know, kind of don't feel like it warrants a $60 price tag.
I don't know. They did a lot with the game. They brought back a lot of characters. They, you know, get put into Fight Lab. The online is actually probably the best online I've seen in a game.
Okay, the netcode.
The netcode's really good.
Harada was saying at Tokyo Game Show that's going to be their next focus. Like, he didn't mention any DLC. He didn't mention any levels or anything like that. He said what they're focusing right now for after services is making the netcode the best netcode possible, that you can go anywhere and pick up the game and play it and have a good time. And yeah. To segue over to that on DOA, how do you feel about its netcode? Because people have been having their own opinions, but I wanted to get yours.
All right, I feel the netcode is smooth and solid. I'll admit right now, it's not as good as Tekken, but it still has a good netcode. Like the game it just released, I know a lot of people got the game early and, you know, decided to go online, but the game came out with a patch the day the game released, you know, to I guess polish the netcode a little bit. But you have to keep in mind, it's peer-to-peer. I think Tekken is more server-based. That's why it's so good.
Correct.
And since we're peer-to-peer, you have to make sure, you know, you're connecting with someone who, you know, has their ports open. There's no firewalls. It's like keeping you guys from, you know, connecting or whatever. And also, if someone's hosting a match, you got to have a good net code to host, like, you know, host the entire room.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, whoever you play might, because there's someone in the room that could be disrupting your connection.
Yeah, then.
So, It's like Street Fighter to me, as far as the netcode, and that's fine. I feel like we've all been playing Street Fighter 4 since, you know, 2009 when it came out, and no one's complaining about the netcode. So, and also Cross Tekken's netcode wasn't that good either. I feel like DOA does a good job with the game, especially for what it's doing. So, everybody just give it a chance and make sure you're not downloading some extra stuff. I mean, unless you have like Arturo's files, I mean, and you're lagging. Then okay, you can make a complaint. But if you're using freaking just a step up from dial up, and you're talking about, man, this netcode sucks, man, it's more like it's you instead of the netcode.
Just to break it down, you know, for anyone who doesn't exactly understand what we're talking about, if when you sign on, and that little rating on the side by your name where your bar signal is indicated, if you have 3 bars or greater, you're most likely going to have a good match.
Mm-hmm.
3 bars or below, and your match is probably going to lag.
And also, don't get me wrong, in Tekken, like, every freaking match is not the best. Like, I've been saying this, like, okay, yeah, Tekken's netcode is awesome, it's great. And, you know, you can finally break throws in the game online. However, I play connections where someone be across the screen, all of a sudden they're right next to me doing, like, a dragon jump, which is, like, a plus 20-something move on block. And I'm like, come on, man, really? You just appeared in front of me? Like, it's been stuff like that. See, I know what they're trying to do. I guess it's like GGPO rollback system, so it won't actually, you know, show what's going on, and all of a sudden the character will teleport. And I'm just like, that, I don't like that. I'd rather it be input delay instead of someone teleporting all over the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. Like, freeze the character and then have the input actually function a millisecond or whatever later, instead of just having the animation be, you know, set to the point where the net catches up to it. I understand.
All right.
So awesome. So I know the game just came out. There was actually a tournament in my town that hosted, like, you know, a casual tournament about with DOA. You mentioned that you're prepping for season B, correct? So what's the regimen looking like? I know you just put a video up, and I'm gonna be posting that on gamerswagger.com. What, you know, is the regimen like for Perfect Legend preparing for a DOA tournament?
Well, it's not anything different than what I usually do, but since the game just came out, what I have to do is go through and see, you know, who the best characters are, based on, like, you know, of course, like, you know, day one stuff is what's actually, you know, I see in the game from face value. I'm making sure to see, like, the characters that I was, you know, good with are still good, or, you know, their strategies have changed at all. Looking to see what characters have gimmicks so I can, you know, figure out, you know, say if this string has, like, so many different enders where I want to know how to get around the string. Like, say, for example, I was fighting Sarah, and I was like, all right, how am I going to deal with her four-punch back kick, which is, like, a mid that goes to a high, and after you block it, you're like, she's, like, plus four or something, and my options after that are either sidestep or crouch, because if she does, like, the only way for her to stop me sidestepping is she has to do a horizontal attack, which is either high or low, so I can kind of, like, you know, think what she wants to do after I get put in that situation, or I can duck the kick and then, like, go from there and get my own advantage. And also, like, I need to figure out, like, how to fight the other new characters in the game so I don't get rammed out. But, you know, if I do, it is what it is, because I don't know what they're doing yet. And then, of course, trying to come up with more damaging combos and, you know, different setups and seeing what still works, because a lot of the stuff that I did in DOA 3 and DOA 4 still work in this game, so that's good. I don't have to put that much time into, like, you practice it. I just have to make sure I have stuff in muscle memory, and I think I should be fine.
Yeah. That's like what I equate to, you know, something like that is Akuma's right raging demon. As long as the inputs are the same and the timing's kind of similar, you're always going to get it every time. So I like it when companies actually take that into consideration, the time that you've dedicated into another title, and, you know, kind of bring those things over and not start from, you know, 100% fresh every time. So, other than that, man, that's all I have. Do you have anything?
I want to give some shout-outs to some people. I want to give a shout-out to Team Ninja for, of course, making this game, because before, I don't think they were even had DOA 5 in development. And also, you know, the Namco Bandai team that made Tekken, because they did a really good job as well on Tekken Tag. And I hope everyone, you know, supports both games. I know people want to be like, oh, DOA versus Tekken. I think it'd be good if we all supported each other's games, so we just have a growing community. I mean, like, I don't see StarCraft players going around, well, they might do in, you know, behind closed doors, but I don't see it publicly being done where they, you know, they're shitting on, like, Heroes of New Earth or Dota or something, you know, or League of Legends. They all have respect for each other for playing games in general, so let's all just, like, play games and have fun.
Yeah, it's all FGC, baby.
Right.
So no doubt, this has been the inaugural episode of Infinite Rushdown. I'm your host, Matthew Blacksmith the Jesus, and I'm here with my co-host, Carl Perfect Legend White. I appreciate your time, Carl.
No problem, man. Can't wait for next week.
I know, right? I feel like it's going to grow, and we're going to do big things. You can like us, our Facebook page, gamerswagger.com. You can follow Carl on Facebook. Carl, what's your Facebook?
/ Perfect Legend, actually. Actually, everything that I have, my YouTube is / Perfect Legend. My Twitter is @ Perfect Legend. My Twitch TV page is / Perfect Legend. So if you want to see me playing DOA or doing tutorials or live tutorials or character breakdowns and stuff, or just matches of me playing, just, you know, follow and I'll and keep posting on when I, you know, I'm going to play, and just follow me so you can get the updates.
Definitely. Same thing goes here. Everything is Gamerswagger, @ Gamerswagger for Twitter, / Gamerswagger for Facebook. Follow us, man, because we're going to be bringing y'all some heat. That's about it, man. As I always say, man, you know, when you get into gaming, you got to go hard, or just don't game at all. All right, y'all. Till next time.
Peace.